This is Mrs. Paggio reading Chapter 6, The Skunks Stay. The skunks, cried Tilly, but they aren't supposed to arrive for weeks. Yes, the skunks, but please call them the Sudsberrys, Tilly, said Mrs. Higgins sternly. Sorry, ma'am, said Tilly. They decided to come early, continued Mrs. Higgins. For what reason? I am not sure, but they are in the lobby as we speak. Mr. Hartwood is meeting with them. With all the festival guests still here, he is concerned about their scent. You know Lord Sudsberry, he's so high-strung. Mr. Hartwood simply does not want him to spray. If he sprays... Well, you know how long it took to get rid of the smell last time. Luckily, no one complained, but rumors could have started. She sighed. I'm not sure what good a lecture will do, but that is not our problem. You must prepare the honeymoon suite at once for them. They plan to have breakfast in the dining hall and check in at noon. That gives us lots of time, piped Mona. But she instantly wished she hadn't. Perhaps with a regular guest room, but these are the Sudsberrys, cried Mrs. Higgins, punctuating her sentence with a sneeze. Tilly nodded and gave Mona a smirk. Here's the list, said Mrs. Higgins, handing Tilly a slip of paper. Mona had to stand on tiptoes to get a peek. It read, special request. Black and white striped sheets, marinated mushrooms, a skunk cabbage bloom, perm rollers for Lady Sudsberry, tie press for Lord Sudsberry, binoculars. The binoculars are new, said Tilly. What are they for, asked Mona. Tilly rolled her eyes. It's none of our business. There are some extra pairs on the stargazing balcony, said Mrs. Higgins. Miss Prickles will bring up the mushrooms. I'll take care of the room service this morning. Hurry, scurry, she said. No mistakes. You know how particular the Sudsberrys are. Don't worry, assured Tilly as the hedgehog bumbled down the stairs. I'll take care of everything. She turned to Mona. Come on, we need to get supplies. You heard Mrs. Higgins. No mistakes. Although Tilly didn't say it, Mona knew that that meant her. So it was with a nervously twitching nose that she followed Tilly downstairs and back up again with supplies. Bigger ones for Tilly and smaller ones for herself to one of the fanciest suites in the hotel. The honeymoon suite was beautiful with a curved branch balcony and a bed in the shape of a heart. It's stuffed with the fluff of cattails, explains Tilly. It's the best bed in the hotel, but don't get any ideas about trying it out. There was a hollowed out barrel for the tub and a desk twisted from twigs. In the corner of the room stood an enormous pine cone decorated with candles. And paintings of happy animal couples hung on the walls. There was even one of a pair of mice. Mona couldn't help but stare at it. She had never spent so much time around her own. So how did you lose yours? Asked Tilly, gesturing to the picture. Lose what? Replied Mona. Your family. Oh, said Mona, it was a long time ago. I don't really remember them. I wish I did. What about your family? That's not your concern, said Tilly briskly, sweeping the floor as I'll change the sheets. Tilly handed Mona the smaller basket of cleaning supplies and a new apron with pockets, which she put on. It was plainer than Tilly's and still a little big, but at least it didn't drag on the floor. Swish, swish, swish. She swept the wooden floor with a broom, even around the tub, being careful not to miss a single speck of dirt, and wondered why Tilly had gotten so mad. It was Tilly who had asked Mona about her family after all. She hadn't started the conversation. Tilly's voice broke her thoughts. What's taking you so long? Ugh, let me do it. You go fetch the skunk cabbage from Mr. Higgins. Is that Mrs. Higgins' husband? Mona asked. Of course, said Tilly. He's the gardener, but no more questions. Just go down to the lobby and along the hall, past the ballroom to the back door. You can't get lost. Mona wasn't so sure, but Tilly took the broom from her and said, hurry! So Mona scampered down the staircase through the lobby and past the ballroom. As Tilly had said, the hallway continued, ending in a large door. The doorknob was way above her head, but then she saw a smaller door built into it. This must be for guests who are small like me, she thought, opening it. Outside, the sun was no longer peeking out from the trees, but parading in the sky. Though the air was still cool, everything smelled fresh from a big rain. In front of her was a large courtyard surrounded on three sides by a wall of blackberry vines. Leaves were heaped in one corner as though they had been recently piled there. The dirt ground had been swept, and there were several chairs made of twigs for guests, surely. On the right side of the courtyard in the vine-covered wall was a gate that said, "For hotel staff only." Mona had it there. She pushed it open and stepped into the garden. On one side, a stream wound its way through banks of roots. It must be the continuation of the one that swept me to the hotel, Mona thought. With all the water, it was no wonder the tree had grown so large, and the water made for a healthy garden, too. There were wild strawberries and blueberries and ferns. A large huckleberry bush rose from the side of a log. Onions and artichokes were in one patch together, and in a shady bed were different types of delicious-looking mushrooms. There were clovers, dandelions, and herbs, too. Chives and oregano in one plant that overpowered all the rest with its fresh, sweet smell. Peppermint. She breathed in deeply. How nice, she sighed. A portly hedgehog with a pair of tooth-sharp shears poked his head out from behind the plant. "Isn't it, though?" Mona jumped back, surprised. "Oh! Don't worry," said the hedgehog. "I'm Mr. Higgins, the gardener, and you..." "Wait, I remember you from this morning. You are the new maid." Mona nodded, and partial to peppermint. "Oh, no need to look upset. I love the plant myself, but some guests have complained that this smell overpowers the courtyard, so I need to trim it back. Here, why don't you take some?" He held out a sprig. Mona smiled and put it in one of her apron pockets. "You can have more if you like," he said. "Thank you, maybe later," said Mona. "Right now I need a flower from a skunk cabbage." "For the Sedsberries, I assume?" "How did you know?" "I grow it especially for them. They like a flower in their room because it reminds them of home." Mr. Higgins led the way down to a swampy area near the stream. "Stay back," he told her. "You don't want to get your paws muddy." "There it is," he said, pointing to a leafy plant that towered above their heads, the skunk cabbage. In the center of the plant grew a few stalks. Only one, a small one, had a yellow flower on the end shaped like the flame of a candle. It was about as tall as Mona. "Skunk cabbage doesn't usually grow in the fall, but I always cultivate one for now, though typically I plan to have it flower in a few weeks' time. Luckily, there's one blooming early." Mr. Higgins ducked under the leaves, wielding his shears. Snip! The flowering stalk wobbled. Mr. Higgins caught it and called to Mona, "Take one end. I'll help you carry it to the door. We don't want it dragging through the dirt." Mona did as he asked. The flower was heavy, but she was able to keep it off the ground. When they reached the door, Mr. Higgins let go of his end. "Can you manage it from here?" he asked. Mona nodded. "I think so." "Best hurry up," Mr. Higgins said. "Don't want to keep Tilly waiting." "Don't let her give you grief, though. She's been through a lot, but that's no excuse." Mona nodded again, surprised. Then Mr. Higgins gave her a wink and headed back into the garden. Holding the stem carefully, Mona dragged the flower down the hallway and into the lobby. Two shrew guests chatting near the hearth gave her an odd look as she pulled it around the couch and up the staircase. The stairs were hardest, and she was careful to go slowly so as not to damage the flower. By the time she reached the honeymoon suite, her limbs ached. The room was sparkling clean. The rollers and the bowl of marinated mushrooms were laid out on the desk, and the Thai press set in the basket on the freshly made bed. Binoculars hung from a hook in the doorway to the balcony. "Lean that flower against the pine cone," ordered Tilly. As Mona struggled to do so, Tilly continued, "Then scrub the top. That's all that's left. I'm going downstairs to eat. I've done my share. It's not my fault you're so slow." "But I had to get the flower. You asked me to," thought Mona. She remembered what Mr. Higgins had said, that she shouldn't let Tilly boss her around. Still, she kept her thoughts to herself. She didn't want to risk making Tilly grumpier. Instead, she picked up a scrubber while Tilly strode out of the room, her bristly tail giving the doorframe a final dusting. "And by the way," she added, "they'll be here any moment." With that, Tilly was gone, leaving Mona alone with the tub. Any moment? How would Mona ever finish in time? She had never cleaned a tub before. If she had, she would have known that she didn't have to scrub the outside, but that's what she did. She had only just started on the inside, using her cleaning basket as a stool to help her climb in, and was polishing the taps when the door opened. At first, she thought it might be Tilly returning, but an instant later, she knew it wasn't. There, my petite perfumery. No need to fret any longer. Here we are at last, and it is time to relax." Mona crouched down low, her whiskers trembling it was the skunks.